I do think that we all have distinct voices. At least that's coming from me as a average white male.
You do have a ginger voice.
Versus
I don't know if the viewers at home can tell, but Chad is a ginger.
I am very gingerly.
So I don't know if that makes you want to listen less or more.
Likely more.
I thought you should know that.
And I have a face for radio, right?
Face for pod.
Face for podcasts.
I don't know if like someone who doesn't know you can hear the ginger in your voice.
I think they can. I think it comes out. I think it comes through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked really hard on that my entire life to just project ginger.
Project. You can
get the ginger timbre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone now, if they listen to any other previous episodes, they know I am a small man.
You are.
Well, now they do.
Times. You're small.
I'm smaller than Tom Holland, apparently. Yeah.
We got a small man, a ginger, and a swarthy bearded fellow.
Yeah, this guy's had
ethnically ambiguous.
He was 10? 20 degree or beard?
I had morphs. A mustache when I was 11 or 12. So.
Yeah. And I'm finally just sprouting one at 30.
All right. Welcome to Square Prompt 2 with myself, Paul, Sam, and Chad. And this is where we take creative prompts out of a cup and make a movie or a TV.
Or a TV.
All right. Program. There we go. That's the rest of the, you know, the word.
Start doing like video games too.
Yeah. Well, we make an actual TV. We manufacture it and everything.
All right. It's my turn. I'm going to go ahead and roll real quick. Two. And then I'm going to mix up this cup.
And
pull out some prompts.
I got a question. Not a question. It's just kind of like a production related thing.
A statement.
You know, I have something to say.
I have a prop that's a meteor.
That's okay. A good one.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's an inciting incident, right?
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah.
I think like if I wanted to use it that way, I think.
You can use that main character. Ways. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, main character.
It could be. I mean, I don't think so. Interest? I mean, it could be anything I want, but it needs to be a prop. And a meteor crashing is an inciting incident.
Oh.
And a character that is a doctor.
Oh, okay. Dr. Meteor.
Dr. Meteor.
Yeah.
The meaty doctor.
Back to my statement question. Do you have another one of these guys? I decided to get two beers so I didn't have to get up and beach.
Hold on.
You can use that one, Paul. I'm using my cell phone as a coaster.
That is true.
I think using the meteor crashing as an inciting incident, I think, is helpful to push it forward. And then a doctor, I mean, depending on how literal, I think when I was writing that down, I was thinking of a medical doctor, but I think with all of these, we're up for our own kind of creative interpretation.
Yeah.
As long as we're not being like...
Like his name is Doctor.
Yeah, like in your face, like we're just fucking like not following the rules at all.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the doctor being a PhD.
Yeah.
A medical professional.
No. Like, you have your doctorate.
Like you're a doctorate.
So you could be
another subject.
Understood.
Yeah. I think that's how I want to approach this. Although if a medical doctor fits in better, then that's fine as well. There's a couple different genres we could look into. Sci-fi obviously is a big one. I mean, we could even do, you know, based on a true story or anything. But I don't know if I want to do the research right now for that. So,
the end of the dinosaurs.
Well, there's a couple of dinosaurs. There's two meteors that I know of, like, true stories. One crashed in Siberia in, I want to say, the mid-90s. And the other one was that one that's in, like, Arizona. We drove past it when we were going to San Diego one time. But it's, like, a humongous thing. And in the very bottom of the crater that it left is, like, a little research RV or, like, portable unit kind of thing. Some guy lives down there and studies the
thing. Don't know what that does for a movie, though. You know? I don't know. So, what I like, did someone see a meteor and there's an alien on board? Or is it something, you know, less predictable? But I think for the sake that we don't have a genre and we don't really have a lot of clues here, going along with that, you know, there's a meteor in the sky and that coincides with some sort of alien visitation. That sounds fun to me. Especially since, like I've said in other episodes, I like aliens. Alternatively to the meteor bringing aliens, maybe the meteor brings... It doesn't make sense that it would bring some sort of like pathogen, because I think the heat coming into the atmosphere would just kill it. But if it brought some sort of material...
Yeah. Well, the pathogen can be inside the
material. Like inside the material, right? And then what does that pathogen do? I kind of like that a little bit better instead of going down the alien route. I feel like alien route's kind of been there, done that. If it's a meteor, you know,
then it's one alien probably.
Yeah.
So then it's
Because the other thing is that it needs to be a meteor. It can't be. I mean, it can't be a spaceship that people think is a meteor, right? Like it's not. It needs to be a meteor. So I think that what I want to do, unless you guys have any oppositions, is I think we start off with a character that's a doctor. And what I don't know what type of
field astrophysicists or something like that.
Yeah, what field would research that real quick?
Well, if you're doing something with like a pathogen, though, it could be like
it could be a medical doctor.
Yeah,
but everyone could be doctors.
But like, it lands on a planet of doctors. Yeah. And there's the whole movie's just them contradicting each other or what they think is in the meteor.
Well, actually.
And that's it. The movie's called Well, Actually. And
it's called the
movie over.
So the doctor is a meteorologist, planetary
geologist.
Planetary geologist. Okay. So let's put that on the back burner right now. Okay. I don't know if they need to be, I don't know which character, or does it matter? Maybe both of them are. Mm-hmm. Who do we want to follow? So I'm thinking that, you know, the movie starts out with some build up on who the character is, right? So we do some character establishing, which we can kind of circle back to once we define who that character is.
Yeah.
And then the meteor crashes and a team is sent to investigate because something about that meteor was fishy. I guess maybe they're able to, with like telescopes or whatever, analyze like, you know, chemical makeup or whatever. So maybe they saw this meteor coming and
like it wasn't behaving like a
or
regular meteor.
Or no. So what if it lands and there's something physically apparent that is wrong with it? And then they get some reports and maybe the family that it like landed in the field like near their house or whatever starts developing some sort of illness. What can this pathogen do? Like, my gut makes me want it to, like, make everything kind of go crazy and, like, surreal type of, like, everyone. It just starts
like spreading. Like an LSD kind of a thing?
It starts spreading and people are, like, hallucinating and, like, don't understand. It's not, like, it's not killing people. It's not turning them into zombies, per se. But it's, like, everyone's just going, like, bat shit, right? Like they don't.
Like, it's like how high. It's
just like, and like so at this point, I don't know. I don't know if this is a.
So the doctor is like fucking like Red Man and Method Man. It's how high too, and they're like.
Well, I don't know about that, but both, I know
they graduated from high school, and now their doctor is 10 years later.
This is serious, or
what I'm wondering. And that's what I'm just what I was about to say. I don't know if this is like a serious, you know, suspense-ish, or if it's a comedy, or like a surreal comedy, which is a kind of like or like a dark comedy. I kind of want to go dark comedy on it because that's where I kind of live at.
Yeah,
I
think. That's kind of like, where my mind went. My first thought was like, what if? I don't know. I just always think about I guess far off marketplaces, poaching's a bad thing because crazy men think it gives them boners. Like, what if you snort part of this meteor and it makes you poke again.
Like you're hallucinating, but you also have like the largest boner forever that you've ever had. It's just like
all these people going crazy over this rock, and or they think it gives them some kind of power.
Or they think that, like, it
people are fighting over it and stealing.
Makes
it.
You think that.
Oh, I wonder that.
It's a lot of rot, like rat race, right?
What if I was thinking maybe the meteor landed like a long ass time ago, and it became kind of this like.
They recently found
cultural deity based thing for a indigenous culture.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And that culture is known for being
like
really out there, right?
Yeah.
And something happens where that gets spread to Gen Pop, which I don't know.
What if it's like North Korea? And the reason they're cutting themselves off is because they don't want people to know they've been snorting this fucking meteor.
We figure it out.
And Dennis Rodman's the one to go and figure it out.
Yeah.
Or we can go serious. Because if we went serious, I was immediately thinking like Africa. And then like the Swahili people, they like keep this a secret. But like one guy found, the village in the middle of the jungle that is, you know, using this meteorite to do certain supernatural things, or at least think they're doing supernatural things.
I would love that scene, actually, if we're doing comedy,
you know, or what? Yeah. You know?
This is the plot of Uncut Gems.
Mm.
Is it? No. I missed that one. I kind of really love the scene of showing from their perspective this, like, grand religious ceremony with all this like magical supernatural shit happening.
Yeah.
And then, you know, cutting back and it's just a bunch of crazy people around a rock, right?
They do a weird dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do people want it if it makes them crazy? What's the benefit, right?
I mean, just going back to for a second, like the scene in that season of Sunny where they're all dancing.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing amazing. And they're like I think there's probably some, I mean, I think ultimately it makes you high, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's giving them what they want because they worship it. It is a gift from the gods.
Yeah.
And what I want to avoid here, and maybe I'm only not avoiding it by bringing it up, is I don't want it to seem like, oh, look at these stupid indigenous people and they're so dumb. Like, that's not the point, though.
Yeah, don't have the doctor be white. Have him be any other fucking race. You can have him be Hispanic. A Mexican doctor goes to Africa.
Yeah, I think
I wonder if it's a instead of basing it in a place where we're like referring to an actual culture, because this is not a culture, obviously.
Yeah.
What if it is a fictional situation?
It's just in Alabama.
In Alabama.
Nowhere.
I like that more. I like that it's like in like the 1800s or something, and
I like that back in time, yeah.
In the 1800s, like in, you know, these mountains in fucking Virginia where like my family is from there and these people are fucking crazy, right?
Yeah.
And in the best way.
I don't know about
that. But they're out there and it's like mid 19th century, right? Yeah. And this meteorite lands, and the way it makes them feel and the way that they kind of develop their own little like subculture of like weird religious inbreeding, whatever, around it, where it's like the Kentucky blue people where everyone just like fucking fuck themselves blue.
I kind of like the idea.
Is real.
That's
cool.
So there's this like group of people that live in like the mountains in Kentucky that like they're all related because there's so much inbreeding going on, and they all have this very, like, very rare skin disease where the color of your blood is, like, seen through your skin. So there's legitimately this, like...
They just have, like, thin skin?
Settlement. No, no, it's, like... So, like, the way that the blood works, it
you can it's see... It's blue inside color. Your
yeah,
body.
Yeah. And you can see it through everywhere.
Yeah.
And basically... This entire settlement or town or whatever of blue people living in the mountains in Kentucky because they're so inbred that like everyone has this very rare, very genetically like rare disease.
Is this how you get Smurfs?
This is how you get Smurfs.
Holy fuck.
Well, yeah. So they, Kentucky Smurfs.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
So the Smurfs were just like.
The Smurfs.
They're just 1800s people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Gargamel was just like this white guy from England. Like, I gotta fucking kill these Smurfs.
Yeah, well,
because fucking like, Kentucky. Blue.
The
that's mean, why everything's there. Kentucky bluegrass, the Blue Kentucky. Jays, all that.
Blue
shit.
People, look it up. It's ridiculous. Blue. And so they fucked each other blue, Peach. And now Gargamel is just trying to like get. That gene pull out of the
land. Gargamel's the good guy.
We cannot have that. We cannot have that spreading to the general population. That would be ruined. So back to the story.
I like the idea of going back in time. Oh wait, go ahead.
Methemoglobinemia.
Methemoglobinemia.
Yeah, they also
globin. Because globin
also had gonorrhea.
Super gonorrhea turns blue.
Yeah, blue gonorrhea.
Kind of gonorrhea.
Yeah, at least you can tell who has it.
Yeah.
Go on a date and someone's fucking blue. You're like, I'm gonna bounce.
It's like you're turning blue from your crotch. It grows out.
Yeah. Dude starts taking off his clothes. Things start getting a lot bluer. Oh, you're like,
dick blue. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, why are you wearing turtlenecks all the time now? Oh, yeah. My gonorrhea blue creeped
up. All right.
I like the idea of going back in time when you'd like, if a little bit further, we're like early, like 1801, right? Then you start getting, America's still trying to like figure borders out with like Mexicans and like Canadians with the French. And so you can kind of have French and Mexican and Spanish and... I'm English just wondering and if, Native American all mixing together with this thing. They're all going after this meteorite, trying to
figure out
what's going on.
And I think the reason why people, you know, resort to, you know, going after indigenous cultures for stuff like this is that even in the 1800s, people knew what meteorites were. People knew. I mean, that stuff was... Like, not a lot of people are looking at a meteorite falling down and going like, oh, this is a gift from God, right? But on the other hand, if they're getting it and so this meteorite landed like, you know, in or around their town. And then it's everyone who's around it is, you know, coming in contact with this, maybe it is a pathogen or maybe it's a long-term disease or maybe it's just, you know, contact high. But now they're like. Seeing things and hearing things.
Maybe it like lands in the water, like in a stream, and like the town down the river is drinking the water and getting like a little bit fucked up. And they go to investigate to see what's going on. And they find this other indigenous people are like touching it and getting a stronger fucking high.
I want to avoid the indigenous people altogether. I think I want to go on the mountain hillbilly.
So what's your inciting incident here?
Yeah.
So if it's already exists,
if it's already there, I think it's already there. You have this culture around it, right?
Okay.
And I'm not talking about making an 1800s movie. I'm talking about it started in 1800s. Like the movie opens, meteor comes down. You see them start to worship it.
Mm-hmm.
200 years later.
All right.
You have this whole city that's in America, but like
they're keeping it
stays isolated,
like almost like a ghost town
to themselves. And they're this is like, you know, the village kind of where like it's like this really isolated city that,
yeah.
And then maybe
one of those weird places,
there's rumors of it, right?
Yeah,
there's rumors of it, there's talks of it, and. The and maybe it's not at this point a planetary geologist doctor, but maybe it's some sort of cultural, like, anthropologist doctor or whatever, right?
Indiana that's Jones.
What?
Well, it could be a couple,
he's
an archaeologist. So this could be an anthropologist and, say, a geologist get together to go figure this out.
So I don't know. I mean, like, all this person's heard of is there is a culture in the mountains that had, like, completely isolated from modern world, has this really crazy religion that doesn't match up with anything that is current in America. It's not Native American. It's not, you know, Abrahamic. It's not, it's just this insane religion that no one follows other than this one isolated town. And they want to figure out, like, what's going on. So they find their way there to study the culture, right? Mm.
It's like the origins of the Amish.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the Amish faith believes in, but it could be like that, right? They don't reject all of the electronics and the other modern shit, but you know, they live in the old ways.
Yeah,
right?
I'd like to avoid that. I think
they don't call them Amish, but you know,
I think that this character, and I don't know why I'm seeing female, and let's just go with female.
She's the doctor.
And I don't know if we want to cast that. I want to go with a ginger because we made a big point about my gingerliness. So I want to,
Jessica Chastain.
I think in the 30s. 30s?
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking 30s.
The 30s.
We want someone that is relatable across demographics. Not too young, but also not too old.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, like, you watch movies now, and the people they think are 30 are really 40, and the people they think are 50 are really...
Yeah.
What about Ginger Spice?
40.
Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice. Is she an actress other than Spice World?
I
was thinking of someone, but I don't know.
Isn't the girl that plays Nebula in
Karen Gillan.
Yeah. That's about right.
She's a redhead.
Yeah, let's go Karen Gillan. I think she has some star power right now. You get all the Marvel stuff. So Karen.
Okay.
Dr. Karen
is a cultural anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the right apologist. I'm not sure.
Sounds like it.
It sounds right. And she's interested. So the movie starts out, obviously, with this meteor landing and maybe, you know, some people from, you know, the late 1700s, early 1800s finding it. And then it kind of cuts to the future. We get to kind of think of this as playing out very much like an Indiana Jones movie.
are we showing both past and present? Are we going, like, jumping back and forth?
No.
We're just kind of doing one
and
then the other.
This is just a prologue. It's just a setup.
Okay.
Really only.
So it's 2001. So for a while, and then it jumps to now.
But I don't even want to get them. I don't want to show them, like, developing the religion or anything. I just want to show the meteor landing.
Oh, okay.
And then jump 200 years later. Now, right? She's a professor and a cultural anthropologist. She is doing her thing, and then she is like, I want to go investigate this town I heard of that's completely off-grid.
How did she hear of it, though?
I think there's just rumors.
Is it in America, though?
Yeah,
is
that,
we're doing
in
like an Appalachia.
I think it's an Appalachian mountain town.
Okay.
I saw it on Reddit.
Okay. That is just, like, absurd. And maybe some people have gone there. And it's just, like, you're not received well when you are there. They're just, like, completely just insane following this religion that no one's ever heard of. And like, it doesn't make any sense. No one, I mean, maybe a couple people leave.
I think it needs to start with, like, a murder. Like, someone had died, and then the, you know, closest sheriff found this body downriver and assumed that it came from there. And she heard about this, and, like, this is not a normal religious thing because it doesn't sound like a.
I like the idea of almost dying.
Like arachnophobia, how it's like they bring this body back, but then it's like mummified.
Yeah,
but then
there's gonna be some stakes here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was working to get into the point where there were some stakes, but yeah. No, I like that. I like the idea of someone dying, or maybe like
because like she can go to the sheriff, and then the sheriff accompanies her to this town, and they both kind of get taken up in this weird religion thing to kind of figure out what's going on.
And you think that at no point during their history they would know about this other town? I think they would.
Well, they'd just be like, no one goes out the mountain because we don't. Just like there's one family that lives there, we don't mess with them. But then when they go up to investigate, they're like, holy shit, this is like a whole village living on top of this mountain with.
Okay, yeah, there's one family up there, we don't go up there.
It's like Ruby Ridge, right? Like,
yeah,
there's this weird family up in the mountains. We don't really give a shit about them. They're doing
probably,
some weird shit.
I mean, it's
not
probably
bothering
property,
anyone.
Right? So, yeah. Like, I mean, they have the whole area fenced off anyway. You're not really getting into it.
There's like one representative that comes out and gets supplies every now and then, but that's pretty much it.
Even, I mean, I think they're completely isolated.
They could do that too.
Yeah. I think they're like off the grid.
Yeah. I think there needs to be one person though that she's able to communicate with on the other side, though. So if they have one representative that, you know, once a year goes out, gets some provisions, and comes back to the town.
I was thinking maybe someone left the town, right?
Oh, someone, like, leaves and finds her?
Someone leaves and starts talking about it. But I'm trying to... So I think that this meteor, the attraction of the effect that it does, it's so powerful, it is like a drug, and they are not only addicted to it, they also 100% believe that everything supernatural that they see is real, because like they're all seeing it, and it's like shared hallucinations. It's not like you see one thing and I see another thing. It's like this thing is causing everyone to see the same things.
So this meteor makes shared hallucinations.
I think it's almost like
the pathogen is alive.
I think this meteor does have kind of like this cognitive. It has this consciousness that's like,
yeah,
I am, and I don't. I mean, I think explaining that we could get to it eventually.
Some
but
weird
maybe,
science thing. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's some sort of
it's
organism that is you know, projecting some sort of reality that is, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because she's got to know that people don't share hallucinations, especially like auditory kind of things. Like, possibly with some suggestion, you can have similar visual.
Most shared hallucinations are one person saw
like influence
it,
the other.
Someone saw something but didn't know. And then you get recounts of what it is, but this is
like the whole town is seeing the same thing.
The whole town is seeing is sucked into this religion.
All right.
In a way that, like, you know, just because everything is just so real to them, but it doesn't exist outside the town. And maybe someone leaves, and I'm trying to think of what would motivate them to leave because it's so addicting, but maybe for some reason we don't have to get into it, or maybe it'll come up.
It could be a simple thing, like they went to do their normal thing of gathering water at the stream, and they fell in. Like, oh, it was a windy day, a tree got wrong with them, they fell into the water, down the waterfall, they hit their head, and they came to, and they were finally free of this shared hallucination, because they had been away from the rock for, you know, a day. And now they're like, I'm able to kind of think clearly for the first time in years. And so, like, the meteor loses its strength, you know, either by distance or by time not touching it or something like
that. Yeah, I think it's...
So why don't they go running back?
Yeah. It's by distance in the fact that, like, you're not... It's not being refreshed, right?
Yeah.
And then time is in...
So, proximity and then also time away, you start to kind of think clearly again. Although this person... Presumably, depending on, you know, the whole village has always lived in that reality, but now they're seeing things a little differently.
Yeah. And maybe
just like a color thing, and like, you know, we see their vision
close up. You're thinking that they don't see color?
No. Like they just see it different. Like we see colors one way. The sky is blue, water's blue, trees are green. Mm-hmm. But when they're close to this thing, stuff's a little bit more psychedelic because it's like kind of controlling you.
Yeah.
It's like showing you the colors of whatever original land this pathogen came from. So mm-hmm. like trees and sky and stuff. Maybe they're seen in like infrared or whatever, where things are skewed, you know?
So maybe he also sees something else that is from the actual world that makes, or I'm going to say he, and we can think of it.
You want to have him be like a younger kid, or do you want to be him also maybe, a little older?
And
I think like teenage would be interesting, right?
Yeah, that works.
Because he's still kind of growing.
Tom Holland again.
Tom Holland
again. Yeah,
he can do everything. Like Judy Dench.
I'm pretty sure Dame Judy Dench would not like to be put in the same acting level as Tom Holland.
Well, there's that little kid from Looper, right? Who was like the big baddie at the end of Looper. He's probably like 13 or something like that. Mm. Let's throw him in there.
Is that? I mean, you get 16-year-olds to play 13-year-olds. You don't get 13-year-olds to play 13-year-olds. I think 13 may be too young anyway. 13's around the
maybe. But it's enough to give them like an idea, so they need to explore back to the village, right? Like, here's your son, and the whole town's like, oh, we don't know this fucking kid.
A kid kind of makes sense in getting them to go up there.
It's because like they're telling you things, and you don't quite believe them because they're a kid, right? And so you need to see for yourself.
So maybe
figure out what's going on.
I like that. So we got a kid comes down. And I didn't particularly like the kid from Looper, so let's grab another kid. Any of the kids from Stranger Things I really liked.
Okay.
Let's make
Dustin.
Who's Dustin's the...
Dustin the curly head one, sings the never-ending story. The
tooth problem.
Yeah.
That's
Dustin.
Fine. I don't know his name.
It's Dustin.
No, it's not.
Dustin McDustin. Pretty sure
The only one I know is Finn Wolf, whatever, and he actually has some movies under his belt, so maybe he's probably the better bet.
Yeah.
So let's go with Finn Wolf Hard.
It's a hell of a name.
His name's Finn something.
It's Finn Wolfhard.
Wolfhard. So this kid gets separated from the town. Sees some things and wants to investigate and kind of finds his way out of the town, right? And then he's found by the police sheriff, who is in his 30s, African-American male.
Oh, in his 30s, African-American male?
Maybe the guy from Get Out. Who is that?
Oh, he's older than
30s. Is he older than 30s? I didn't get that impression from... I mean, if he's in his 30s to 40, I think it's fine. Yeah, he's an adult.
Daniel Kaluuya. 89? Oh, no, he's younger than us.
He's 30.
He's 30, exactly.
Okay, so Detective Dan. No, Sheriff Dan. Him and... So he has this kid, and the kid's telling him all this crazy shit about the town they live in and how they have... very wildly different cultural differences between not only technology and everything else, but just like how they approach things, how they talk, what they say, how, and he's wondering why in the town you can see like aliens, alien type, like beings, like celestial beings walking around that are part of this religion. And he's wondering where they're at and stuff like that. And it's just like, he's just kind of talking crazy. They don't know what's going on. He tries to explain where he's from, so they're trying to take him back. The sheriff takes him back, and just everything is really weird there, right? And there's some weird interactions. They are really protective and weird and kind of take the kid back. And as he's leaving, he kind of gets a weird, like, he sees something too, right? Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, a signal that he is also, you know, witnessing their revelations or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like that he gets a small kind of hallucination.
Like a small glimpse, like a little glimpse, and then he leaves because he's not addicted, he's not caught on it. He's like, it's just this little glimpse.
He's been there just long enough to kind of get a little bit of like, this is weird.
And not beyond just their culture and everything else, which is just blanket weird, but he's also, he gets a little bit of a, is this true, right?
Because, like, did like, I see what this character's talking about?
Did I see what what I just thought I saw, right? So then he goes to the nearby university to talk to
Penn State.
To talk to the, you know, resident, like, cultural anthropologist, doctor, professor person.
Yeah.
To get some insight on this. And then she's like, Dr. Karen is like, I've heard of this place. Mm-hmm. And so then they go there together, right?
Yeah.
So let's see the...
He might take some backup because you're going to need like a person or two to die.
So what's like the, I guess, the conflict? So they're going to go there.
That's why I think we need to develop from there. So now we have both of our main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Dan, Dr. Karen, and maybe a couple other people.
Deputy Haley
maybe
Joel.
Maybe an intern or something. Right, and they're going there to just see what the hell's going on, because this is bizarre. I think that it needs to turn into this struggle to leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the conflict, is them trying to leave, them struggling with what they're seeing, because now they're under the influence, and what is real, not getting sucked into it, and getting the hell out, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the people there, like, clearly don't want to be bothered, and maybe they start getting violent too, right? Does that make sense?
So, like, the meteor is using these people to protect itself.
Maybe.
Because they're like, these outsiders are a threat.
So it gets like a horror movie. Yeah.
I think once we get to that point, it turns into kind of like a crazy religious zealot horror movie where the entire religion is kind of started by this conscious space rock that is projecting its desire to be protected onto the citizens of the small mountain village and making them, you know, not only revere it, like, not only worship it, but also is protecting it. Yeah. And and it senses them as a threat. So not only is it creating hallucinations for them that are detrimental, like, it's making them turn on each other, it's you know, freaking them the hell out, it's also, you know, demanding that the people of the town take action in order for them to escape.
Yeah,
I like that. It's
it's cool.
So I think at first everyone in the town is fairly welcoming, and so is the and then it progressively gets weirder, right?
Yeah.
So as they arrive, and now they start seeing things different, doing things different, they're like, oh shit, like, I think this rock is causing a reaction with everyone, and we need to save them. Now they're like, oh, we're taking this on ourselves to save these people, because they're clearly under the influence of something that isn't, you know, real.
Yeah.
And then, but then they're, you know, internally struggling with themselves, or struggling with the people there to do that. So, you know, looking at it as a, you know, bell curve or whatever, we got the, you know, everything set up. You got the incident of the boy coming out of town, and then them going up and seeing it. That sparks, you know, Sheriff Dan to go find someone at the college. We've already kind of set up her a little bit too. We've shown her a little bit. We kind of cutting between those stories leading up to that. So then they go there together. They take a research assistant, a couple of deputies or whatever up there with them to check this place out, because, you know, you just had a unaccompanied minor roll in the town talking like he's high on something. And like, and then he goes up there and it's this weird religious cult and you don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. So let's go check this out. They get up there. Everyone's very accommodating, welcoming at first. They maybe have like a meal, stuff like that. Progressively, they're starting to see more stuff. They're seeing like glimpses of angels, alien angels, you know. They're hearing things. But they are, you know, very aware that this isn't real. Like, for the kid, getting out of it is kind of like, where did they go? For them, it's kind of like, what the hell is this, right? Yeah. And then they come to the conclusion that it is the big glowing meteor right in the middle of town, right?
Yeah.
That they've kind of based this around. They start talking amongst themselves about how they need to take it in for testing, confiscate it. They're trying to get back out to form a team to do that. The meteorite knows, because it is this conscious entity that is like not only in your mind, but maybe even can even like sense certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it starts manipulating, you know, residents of the town to fight against it, and manipulating the people there to really like be unsure of what's going on. So then you get kind of this, you know, people are trying to kill him and like all this stuff. A few people die. Maybe the detective or Sheriff Dan, I don't know. Maybe we let them get out.
I don't know, because there's need to be either some people have to die. Yeah, some people. I mean, people
we brought
die,
some
so.
Cannon fodder for that. But the problem, I mean, and if we give them relatable stories and make them relatable characters, then that emotional weight is there.
Yeah.
If they're just red shirts and they just die with like without any. Then there's no emotional weight there.
I mean, they can have some other kind of like, you know.
I think we need to give them some
something.
If we're not going to kill off the sheriff or the doctor, then we need to spend some time giving some emotional, like some character development.
I don't think any of those people die until like the end. You know, when they're trying to do whatever plan it is. I kind of feel like since the kid fell into the water and was washed down river, that water is this meteorites like thing, because it uses spores to control people or whatever. Yeah, so you got to use some weird stupid fucking like M.I. Shyamalan signs thing, right? So in order to, they can't blow this thing up because that would just spread the spores all over the world. So they have to fucking drown this meteor. So they have to pick it up and throw it into the river.
Know that though,
but
they
like
they don't have a planetary geologist.
But like
there,
through all this shit, you know, they got to figure something out, because there has to be some kind of conflict where they go to kill this thing, but then it's using the whole townspeople to defend itself.
Yeah, well, I wasn't thinking they were actually going to kill it yet. They're trying to leave to bring back a team to like confiscate it, because they want to like
take it away.
They want to take it away, and I think they figure out, and it kind of turns into
I think
pod
you end
people
with,
type thing.
And I think it would be cool maybe if they don't escape and they succumb to it.
They just
I'm fine with that.
Town.
I like that idea.
Well, if you have a dark comedy, you can have a weird ending like that. Where
I like a couple people die and then they ultimately succumb to the calling of the rock, which is
like if they're killing
and that's
the people
the name.
They were
but
with.
Like, that's the name like of the movie, by the way. No. Calling of the Rock.
But like if it is like a water thing, right? And they go and they do get it into the river, then it can just fall down the same fucking waterfall and then be exposed on top and still make everyone part of the village again. But now they're down at the bottom of the waterfall instead of up at the top.
I like that they eventually become part of the cult.
Yeah. And they can still become part of the cult.
For, I think what you're going for here, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it kind of speaks to the larger
concept.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a little more... It makes it less action movie.
Yeah,
like
I don't want
it
to be
gonna blow up and everybody.
No, I don't want that at all.
Come under this,
yeah,
you kind of lose focus on what you're.
Well,
and
it's like
I think it's unrealistic.
Well, maybe it's
that
not say the world. Maybe
it's people's idol and rid them of religion. Yeah. It's not realistic. It's not. I'm sure there's some ethics thing in there too. I think we need to bring back in, especially if we're gonna cast a named actor. I think the kid, maybe his time away. Is giving them some type of clarity.
Yeah.
And he helps them a little bit. Like he just becomes a supporting character to them. Like he's not 100% on board with killing them. you know, I think that'll be pretty helpful.
What if, like, the goal of this meteor is to get more and more higher officials to then use some kind of observatory that's up in the Appalachian Mountains to send signal back to other meteorites to invade Earth?
I really like the idea that it's just this
one random thing.
Yeah. This consciousness that lives in this rock that wants to protect itself,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily in, it's not like this, it's not that like this sentient being that has a end goal. Its end goal is just to be, and maybe yeah. it's not even,
it's like a fungus where it just wants to survive.
It just wants to survive.
That's it. And it's that's just, its yeah. base motivation.
And this is not, and it's not doing anything inherently wrong. It's just mm-hmm. what it does. It's just, this actually sounds not specifically like any Star Trek episode that I can remember.
Yeah.
But it's very Star Trek-y in that yeah. concept where you have this unknown object or, mm-hmm. or species or whatever that's just doing its thing, but it affects humans or and the other people in the Enterprise in a way that is negative yeah. to them, right?
It's the Troubles. It's the Troubles. It's the
fucking Troubles.
That reminds me a little bit of Midsommar, which came out this year.
I haven't watched
Midsommar. It's sounding like that, but I feel like, wasn't Midsommar based on a true events?
No.
I feel like
it's based on the lore, but
a lore. Okay, so it's based on like a folktale.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's like a copycat of it mm-hmm. at all, but it does have that similar thought where outsiders come into a place that has a certain belief yeah. system.
Yeah, yeah.
And then ultimately, that belief system starts to
yeah
in a horror movie way.
Okay,
yeah,
influence their decisions and take okay. over a little bit.
Yeah,
so it's kind of what we're talking about here. And but I think this takes it way further.
Yeah, I haven't watched like Midsommar, and we're way too far into this.
No,
I don't think this is a copy of it at all. I think okay. this actually maybe goes a little deeper than that, though, because that was more about a relationship between a couple.
It's,
than anything. This isn't really. This is more.
It's
religious based.
It's very much like Sphere. It's not trying to do any of this. It's just doing this because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I really like that idea, and I really like that eventually whoever's left
is part of it.
It becomes part of it. And, and maybe, and that, and we can hint at it, or I don't, or overtly say it, I'm not sure, but maybe that's, this has happened before, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they're not the first people.
Like, there's other.
And it wouldn't make sense if it didn't, right?
Yeah. There's other,
there's a reason these meteors, why
other places on Earth, you know, this, like in the middle of the Amazon or wherever.
Well, maybe we show it as in the beginning, it's just a family that finds it and it grew, right? So it went from just a family that lives up in the mountains to being a town of a few hundred people because.
Yeah. Well, like if one family found it, then like another family comes along and finds that family, they become part of it, and then
it just
slowly like families people. Start becoming part of it until there's a whole fucking town,
and this consciousness in the rock just kind of grow like feeds on that, you know.
Yeah.
It's part of what it needs to
it becomes a collective, like the meteor is the town and the town is the meteor.
And again, I mean, to me, this is a, you know, science fiction suspense, a little bit of horror in there. It can be, I mean, but this comes down to dialogue, I think, which we're not going to cover. It could go into dark comedy, but that's not really necessary. I think
I don't see it really as much as I love dark comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing it out in my head. I don't, I kind of see it playing it as a straight up sci-fi.
We made it more sci-fi, and it's more like Phantoms, where it's like this isolated town that just, you know.
But I like it. I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's a really good idea. I think
that's pretty solid.
Cool.
If anyone would like to purchase this script idea for me, call me, baby. Like I said earlier, I think the title, unless this is a calling of, I say calling of the rock. I don't know if we want to say it the calling of the meteor. I really like calling of. I wonder.
You can call it stone, calling of the stone.
We kind of just like calling.
Or the calling.
Is that, that's not a movie?
Something.
The Calling?
somewhere along the line.
I like calling of the stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that works really well. And then they call it the stone. Like, like in the town, it's called the stone, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't call it a meteorite.
Yeah,
they call it just always the stone. Known it as the stone.
We know it's a meteorite.
Yeah.
But they don't know.
So we have Dr. Karen, we have Sheriff Dan, and we have the kid, Finn. We should probably cast a few other roles, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking we probably have a research assistant we talked about, and maybe two deputies, and there probably should be like a leader of the cult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the main person that they're, you know, kind of fighting.
Are you thinking
with.
like an older dude or someone kind of like mid 40s or something?
I'm going with older, like they're the patriarch of this kind of family cult, right? And they've been around for a while. Maybe, I mean, they kind of inherited this title from their parent or whatever. So someone old.
I kind of want to see Kevin Costner as this guy.
Kevin Costner. How old is he now? Like in his 60s, 70s?
No, he's probably getting close to 70. He's probably not there, but he's like at that cusp, you know?
I'm okay with that. I would be okay with Kevin Costner or Michael Keaton because I love Michael Keaton and I think he could do a great job.
Yeah.
But, or if we went to go like really old, like in their 90s, we get like Max von Sydow in there. Or
we could do like Robert Duvall or something like that.
Yeah. Or who's the old Michael Douglas? Get him in there.
Oh, Kirk Douglas?
He just died.
Yeah. Kirk Douglas died. Oh, man.
Like 103. You couldn't make it another week for our podcast.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm a like lifelong, like die hard. I love Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton can be in everything.
Every single movie ever. And maybe because he's Batman, or maybe because he's Mr. Mom, right?
He's Gung Ho from Gung Ho. That's like the best movie. He's so underrated.
I mean, one of my favorite movies ever is Multiplicity, not because it's a great movie, but because it has like five Michael Keatons in it. I think that is.
All right. I'm down with Michael Keaton for this.
All right.
He could be a good menacing cult leader. And then we need a deputy or two.
Yeah, a couple of deputies for Sheriff Dan and a research assistant, I think, for Karen Gillan.
These people are...
I think the deputies are probably going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. The research assistant will probably live.
Yeah.
But we had talked about having some fodder in there for the cult. So.
Yeah. I think Domhnall Gleeson for one of the deputies.
Yeah. Oh, that could be cool. Yeah, I like him.
Somebody could really show some fear on their face.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You could really show being scared.
I kind of wanted to be like a kind of a college student
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, younger.
Yeah, there's that kid from Dope. It's this kid, Shameik Moore. He could be like the...
All right. So we got... Who do we have? Brendan? No. Dominic Gleeson.
Yeah.
Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall Gleeson.
Brendan Fraser is somebody who gets killed very early.
I like that. I like Brendan Fraser as a deputy. It's not like the deputies need to be younger. He's like a completely incompetent deputy that gets killed like pretty early in the piece.
Trips over his own shoelaces.
Yeah. I think that works. Yeah. All right. Well, that is Calling of the Stone. A sci-fi thriller horror. Sounds pretty cool. Excited about that. Movie's done.
Yep.
That movie is over.
That's right.
What are we doing?
Outro.
Find us on social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can rate, review, like, and subscribe to the show. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/scriptprompt2, where you can get early access to episodes and exclusive audio and video content. You can also send your own ideas for the prompts we pulled today, or any other episode for that matter, to podcast@scriptprompt2.com. It's over.
Done.
Fiend.